This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the boy, you just got the mics turned on just in time, didn't you?
Like that?
Wow, yeah.
Woo, baby.
The sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here. Nice to see you.
And look at the gorgeous day out there.
It's beaut. It's a beaut. But boy, that temp this morning was
crisp.
Yeah, I thought it was going to get up to a little frost on the windshield,
nope.
But nope.
That's great. So no frost where you are is really a good thing. I mean, we've got weeks yet to
up
go.
In northern
flowers.
Stouffville area. Yeah. Anyway. No,
it's gorgeous. It's super blue, super bright, super crisp. Gorgeous day.
Oh, you know what we forgot to do last week?
Oh, my
goodness.
Actually, even the week before.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you referring to our good friend Stanley?
Yes.
Okay, I hope Stanley's listening. You know what? Stanley, who's a City of Toronto, just recently retired Parks and Recreation worker, dropped by the studio a couple of weeks ago and brought us beautiful gifts. So tell us what
well,
they
now,
were.
Well, now, in a little glass bowl and various
succulents.
That's just what I was going to say.
I know. That's why I said it for you.
No, it was really just on the coffee
gorgeous,
table.
Gorgeous, like a gift planter. Like it's a planter. The one he gave to me, I believe he said there was either 12 or 13 different varieties of succulent, all beautifully arranged.
Did we give him a little
planted.
Santa in ours,
too? Oh, yeah. I know. I've got little rocks and Santa. It's so sweet. He spent a lot of time. And my daughter posted it on Instagram, a photo of my planter on Succulent Sunday.
Okay.
And got a lot of response to that. That was really well received on Instagram.
Thank you, Stanley. That was so kind.
Beautiful. Yep. Sitting right on my desk in my office.
All righty. And tomorrow, of course, is election day in Canada.
No, day after tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, what Sunday. I was saying. Yeah. Ah, right. You know.
Like the real day,
Exactly, yeah. And I hope everybody gets out to, as they say, exercise your franchise.
Yeah, but a bunch of people have already voted.
Oh yeah, sure.
Right?
Huge turnout, apparently, which
I think
bodes well.
It's funny how that's become a thing. It's become a real trend. Mm. People jump on that early voting opportunity.
You know.
Get it out of the way.
And that's exactly it. So they don't have to worry about it.
Well, and people who work all day, the last thing they want to do is have to start lining up to vote on Monday night if they don't have to, right?
Yeah.
So voting last weekend was great for a lot of the people that are, you know, working and having to pick up kids at daycare and all that sort of thing.
I'm a scrutineer for one of our candidates.
Oh, does that mean you stand there and watch for a few hours?
Yeah, I'll be, apparently so. Yeah, I'll be getting some instruction how to do that. And apparently there are copious things.
You can't
things
blink, you know that.
No.
Because something could happen when you blink.
Oh, ye gods. Now, don't be scaring me. Stop that. All right.
Well,
you know what?
It's a very responsible job.
This is The Garden Show, so we had better get moving along here. And Franklin, my job, really, is to give you the phone number. So let's do that.
Well, more than just
all
that,
right.
Really.
Yeah, I know. In Toronto, and you want to reach Charlie Dobbin, by all means, give a call to this number, 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. If you happen to be a first time caller, please let Duncan. Let Duncan know, and he'll let us know. And just before you get the airwaves, get your little wings, your garden wings. Call early, call often. One question per call. And by golly, we do have a first-time caller up.
We'll
be getting to in just
Judy.
A couple of moments. Yeah, in Stratford.
Yeah.
Judy waiting on the line for us. So let us move along, Charlie. All right?
All right.
Charlie Dobbin, the master gardener, taking control here from our studios in Liberty Village.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, my good friend Charlie, you all set to meet someone new?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wait a minute, I got the bell out here, and it's for Judy in Stratford.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, prithee.
Welcome to the show.
I have a question about tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Our tomatoes this year, we planted from seeds, mm-hmm. and we had nice, big, bushy tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And then all at once, the leaves all turned brown. Mm-hmm. And then the tomatoes got all little black spots on them, not black spot in the mm-hmm. bottom, but like the mm-hmm. rest. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't let them get really ripe or else they spoiled on you.
Right.
So I gathered that was a fungus or blight.
Yes.
So last week you were talking about fruit trees, mm-hmm. Spraying them with sulfur. Can we do that with tomatoes, or is there something else we can do?
No, you can't do that with tomatoes. Tomatoes, by virtue of the green growth and no woody growth to speak of, like no tree trunks on tomatoes, mm-hmm. makes them too susceptible to damage from the sulfur.
Okay.
But you're right, blight is a fungal disease, and there are three different blights: early blight, mid blight, and late blight. Tomatoes are susceptible to all of them, mm-hmm. very much dependent on the environment, things we cannot control, like humidity levels, high moisture content, even temperatures, humidity, all that sort of thing has a lot to do with the incidence of blight. Mm-hmm. So what can you do? Next year, a couple mm-hmm. of things you can do. One is plant your tomatoes far enough away that there is good air circulation happening around the plants.
Okay. So
there is a tendency to pack them in and make a tomato forest and just have this wall of tomatoes. So, you know, if they're full-size tomatoes and they're going to reach, 6 or 8 feet tall, make sure they're at least a meter apart. So you want that good spacing. It looks silly early in the season because they're tiny little plants, but mm-hmm. they grow into that space. Make sure they're growing in a situation with a minimum of 6 hours of direct sun every day. So lots of sun. And then I take control of the shape of the tomatoes as they're growing. If you leave them alone, they will become huge bushes. They'll be tall and wide and have suckers all over the place. So I do a certain amount of pruning, trimming, shaping my tomatoes.
Letting the air in there.
That's right. You know. They always want to send up all these little extra little shoots that are called suckers from between the main stem and the leaves. So I do allow a few at the bottom so that I've got a main stem and maybe 3 or 4 more that become main stems. Mm-hmm. And after that, all suckers are removed as the plant grows. And as we get later into the season and we know we're getting close to frost, for example, I take all the tops off and just try and ripen up what's there. And sometimes we just can't help it. I mean, it was a very, very cold, wet spring. So that was not to the advantage of tomatoes at all. But July and August were great, hot and sunny.
Judy, I got to let you know that on our monitor, I see in a couple of calls, we're going to be talking to the tomato expert himself. That'd be Werner in Tilsonburg. And if he's got any suggestions to offer, he will offer them, I know,
Well, and actually, just as an aside, there are products on the market. Mm-hmm. And actually, you mentioned sulfur. There is sulfur available in a spray bottle that is a lower concentration of sulfur rather than the lime sulfur that we use on woody plants that is available for preventative care on plants that are susceptible to fungal diseases. So if we get a really wet season again next year, take a look on the shelf of your local Canadian Tire or whatever. See what they've got out there for fungicides. Read and see if it's useful on tomatoes. And then be preventative. That's always the challenge with fungal diseases.
So do you start spraying that in the spring then?
No, you would start spraying. You would keep an eye. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, the plants are fine. It's when we get to sort of mid-July or even early July that we'll sometimes start to see. And the weather tells us a little bit about what's going mm-hmm. on as well. So that's when you start thinking about preventing.
Because when our leaves all turn brown, of course, then the tomatoes were just there.
Yeah.
And then they got all that burn because in the hard white part because there was no leaves to protect them.
That's right. Exactly. And they also are susceptible to the blight. So there you are with all these scraggly looking plants. And the other thing is when you're cleaning up the garden this fall, ensure that you remove all that debris. Don't leave any of it on the ground because of the spores that are on the plants that can
reinfect.
Stay on the property.
Oh,
yeah, reinfect next year.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're
welcome.
Alrighty.
Thank you for joining us from Stratford.
Yes. I know you had to go Shakespearean.
All ready to go.
Prithee thou,
fair maiden. Oh, Lord love a duck. All right.
Can you say good garden hygiene with a Shakespearean accent?
Good garden hygiene.
There you are. That's the mantra.
Very good indeed. All right. Jean in Chatham waiting on the line there, too. Hello, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a bad summer in that somebody was having a banquet on all my plants.
Oh, all your plants.
The leaves, they ate a baby hosta right down to the ground. And I'm just wondering, is there anything I can do now to prevent this happening next year? Hmm.
I think the best thing we need to do is figure out who is doing all that eating.
Earwigs, maybe?
Well, hold on. Are you anywhere, are you in Chatham or outside Chatham?
No, I'm in Chatham.
Okay, so you're in town. Groundhog, maybe?
Hmm.
Could there, because groundhogs are pretty willing to eat anything, particularly if you're talking about leaves and young plants. Groundhogs can be rabbits.
Old plants, young plants,
Deer, but probably not deer right in town.
No.
So your challenge is really, if you're not seeing any obvious eating herbivores out there during the day, is to make a point of looking out at night, putting on go out with a flashlight and see if you can see what's going on. Frank's right. I mean, earwigs they'll pretty much eat anything as well. But you'd have to have an army of earwigs to just annihilate a garden, eating everything just nonstop. So likely more like a rabbit or a groundhog that was doing that. There are a few kind of things you can incorporate into your garden that will scare them away. There's a sprinkler that's called Scarecrow, and it's a motion detector sprinkler. So you turn it on as the sun goes down, and any little beastie that enters your garden to have a salad feast
sets off
the sprinkler.
Oh, neat.
And it's a high pressure sprinkler. Yeah. So it kind of blows them off their feet and they run away.
There's something else too, the moles. Remember we were talking about moles and you insert it. It's like a
juicy
a
fruit.
Sound.
Oh, the sound thing. Yeah.
And it sends out this horrible to
sound,
the
super
human,
high.
Human ear could
we can't hear it up,
but they
do. But moles are underground.
Yeah.
So moles are chewing all your roots typically.
Yeah, right,
and vole, same thing. They're chewing away on things. So, I mean, when it comes to a devastated garden, the first challenge always is who am I after? And then we'll strategize how to how to get after them. I'm sorry, I wish I could be of more use, but that's.
Are grubs the little white things that curl up?
Right, so those are grubs.
Yeah, well, out front, I know when I was cleaning up the edges and I would dig down and whatever, I lifted out many, many grubs, so I know I've got those out front.
So is that this past fall or in the spring?
Oh, just recently, within the last month or two, I just keep on cleaning up the edges.
Nematodes.
Cutting back petunias, that type of thing.
Too late now for me.
I'm just wondering. Okay, so those round, ugly, C-shaped grubs is what they're called. They do a lot of damage. They eat roots and can kill turf. They can kill garden plants. They're quite hungry little beasties. As the weather's getting cooler, they are going to begin a descent down deep below the frost line to spend the winter under the ground, come back up and start eating in a bigger way next spring.
Yeah.
So the best way to control grubs is to get a hold of something called nematodes, and they're nematode eggs. You're in Chatham, you're warmer than us, and so it might not be too late.
Yeah, that's right.
Your local garden center would have nematodes, or at least they could advise you whether it is too late in your neighborhood to use them. Rain coming is perfect because they do go onto a moist garden, moist lawn, follow all the instructions. That again is a preventative to try and avoid even bigger damage next spring. So
they also eat the leaves on the plant?
No. No,
just the roots, basically.
Strictly below ground at this time of year.
Yeah,
when they mature, the adults are beetles, right? They're the June beetles that fly around. So, and that's the other thing. Maybe it was like Japanese beetles were eating your stuff.
Gosh, yeah. Right.
I know we had those on a tree and we cut the tree down. It was covered.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they moved on to other things. Once the tree was gone, they went, we'll just better go eat the hostas. So to make sure you don't have a Japanese beetle trap on your property, because you're going to get more than you need, more beetles than you need. So, just try and do everything you can to swoosh, get everybody to go somewhere
else.
Send
them to the neighbors.
Exactly. Herding.
Thank you so much, Jean.
But check into using some nematodes like today on the garden just to try and be in better shape for next spring.
Okay.
All right. Good luck with that. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you for joining us here. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Crystal clear, don't you know?
Really?
Yes.
Yes,
yes, indeed.
It's good because that 740 is not crystal clear.
Well,
when you're downtown.
Sometime. In downtown, no.
No, you get all that interference.
That's why, we got the good old FM. Support
96.7. I should put that, get that on my car radio.
Yeah. You know, tomato expert and expert in so many other things. Werner is on the line from Tilsonburg. We're going to get to you next, Werner. Stay tuned. We're coming back at you.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, we're off and running, Charlie, all the way to Tilsonburg. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
How are you?
Frank.
Hi. What's going on?
I want to move a rose bush.
How long's it been there?
Oh, about 5 years.
Yeah, that should be doable.
And only about 3 feet in the corner of my flower bed because this is interfering with my other planting.
Yeah. So
I just want to move it over.
Yeah.
You would do it now or in the spring?
I would do it now.
Now?
Yeah.
Good.
You know why? Because the soil is nice and warm now.
Yeah.
And so get out there with your shovel, prepare the hole, lift, move, drop, tamp, water, done. No fertilizer, no nothing. Just do, and you will cut it down a little bit to do this, even by as much as a third, because you're going to leave some roots behind. But try and keep a root ball together.
Yeah.
And remember, you're planting it at the same level it is now or slightly higher because it's going to sink down a bit once it settles. And yeah, do it now. And then, I would also probably put some leaves or some mulch or whatever just around the crown of the plant once we've had some good hard frost. Just a little bit of a protection around the crown, but it'll be fine. If it's only been there 5 years, it'll be fine.
Good stuff.
Okay. Do I wear rubber boots while I do that?
Well, what's it like at your place? It's crystal blue and clear here.
Okay.
As long as it's not raining, you're fine.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, dear.
Thanks, Werner.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
All right. Thank you,
you
very
too.
Much. Now, here is another first-time caller.
Wow.
From North York this
arm
time.
Is
Orest. Orest is Orest. On the line, and that's for you, Orest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is, recently I bought a couple of rose plants, and I wanted to ask, is it too late in the season to put them in the ground?
No, not necessarily. Are they roses that you bought outside, they were outside at the garden center when you bought them?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Because sometimes we will find little mini roses and that sort of thing for sale inside.
Oh, no, these were outside.
Okay, so these are outdoor hardy roses.
Yeah.
You have two options. One is you have a spot, you know where they're going, you can do the permanent planting this fall, anytime today onwards, or you're not quite 100% sure where they're going, leave them in the pot, but still sink the pot and the plant underground for the winter, and then next spring you can dig up, and then you can think more about where's the permanent planting going to be.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, that's the only way they're going to survive the winter. You do not want to leave them above ground, and you do not want to bring them in your house.
A quick second question.
They're running into problems here. We only allow one question per call, Orest. What I'd advise you to do, though, is once you hang up, just redial, and you'll get back in line.
Because we've got other people online waiting.
But thank you.
You're very welcome to call back with a second
question.
Supplementaries are always welcome.
Absolutely. Okay, in fact, a first-time caller is awaiting your attendance, m'lady.
Lovely. Oh, we're so chat 40 in these days.
You got me going here. All right.
I've got you going.
This is Mary in St. Catharines. Good morning, Mary.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have emerald cedars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're called SMARAGD.
Just the way it sounds, smaragd.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And which are now probably about 20 feet tall.
Oh, my.
Yes, they're huge. Mm. And so I was wondering how to prune them. Like I'd like to top off about 5 feet or so, and retain like the cone shape.
Right. How long ago were they planted? Do you know? Were you there?
About 15 years.
And how many are there?
Three. Okay. They're right beside each other. They're more like a blockage.
Right. So are they out in the front?
No, they're in the backyard.
And they're kind of like a windbreak in a sort of a pattern, like a triangle pattern or whatever?
Straight across, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Three right in a row.
All right. So I wish you had called me, you know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, me too.
So
grow about 13 feet, it said.
I know, but if a plant is happy, it just doesn't stop growing. It keeps growing. It does slow down, but it does continue to grow. So that's how sugar maples end up so big, right?
Right.
And blue spruces that start out so cute end up so big. The trick with cedars is you're better to stay on top of them in terms of their pruning requirements earlier in the game than later in the game.
Okay.
So they sound like they're happy and they're, you know, doing well. And technically, yes, next June, you could go out there with a big ladder, or somebody, not you, but somebody goes out there with a big ladder, gets up to that 15-foot level,
yeah,
and has a chainsaw in hand and proceeds to lop off the top 5 feet on each of these plants.
Right.
Some shaping is going to be required because otherwise snow load, et cetera, you don't want a flat top on those cedars. They do need to be somewhat pruned into a bit of a point or a curve on the top, so they shed.
Okay.
And if they're happy and healthy, they will not be at all affected by this, other than to get wider. Because when you take the top off a plant like that, you're going to encourage width.
Yeah, they're quite wide too.
I know. So if you wanted to really do this right, then you would not only take the tops off, but you'd also shear the sides.
Okay.
So, but you're not going to be able to shear like 3 feet, because otherwise you're right back into dead wood or naked wood. But you can certainly shear a few inches all the way around each of those plants at the time when you're taking the tops off.
Okay. Yeah, because they're nice and green outside, but on the inside, they're all brown.
That's because that's the way they naturally grow.
Oh, okay.
Your new growth is on the outside,
right?
And your old wood is on the inside. And we call them evergreens, as if they're always green, but cedars do drop their needles about every 3 years.
Oh.
So what you're looking at is 3 years growth on that outside green growth.
Yeah.
Anything inside there where there's no growth, that's your 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 20-year-old growth inside where there's no leaves.
Yeah, that drops off quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do get large and naked on the inside. It's completely normal.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary,
for calling.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger. Coffee's always on.
Door is always open here. My gosh. Off to Wyoming.
Really?
In Ontario. Oh. Yeah. Anne, good morning. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm good this morning. Yes, it always gets confusing to people when I say I'm from Wyoming.
It's very cool, actually. Do you have a ranch?
No.
I know.
It's a little town.
I know.
I have a lemon cypress that a friend gave me. It's beautiful in a pod. It's been on my deck all summer. She has told me she's tried to winter them over and has had no success.
They are tricky.
So I thought, well, I'm going to give Charlie a call and see if you can help me at least try to. Yeah. It's a beautiful little plant.
I know, and they smell great when you stroke them.
Yes. So anyway, I'm going to call Charlie and see if she has any pointers.
Well, okay, so tell me about the deck. What direction has it been? Has it been in full sun all summer?
It has been. It's south. Our deck is south. Okay. So it's had full hot sun, and it seemed to really love that.
Mm-hmm.
I have brought it in and out as it got cold, and it is starting to lose some of its lovely, brilliant green color.
That will happen.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wondered about, I realize it's probably going to still need lots of sun, which I do have a patio door that is south facing.
Good. So you're going to keep it there all winter.
I will keep it there all winter. What I wondered about is watering. Things like that.
Yeah. So you're going to want to, so recognize that all of our plants, as winter comes, days get shorter, all of our tropical plants and our tender plants that we bring indoors and we've been watering them all summer are going to use less water in the winter. So you're going to get used to what the pot feels like, either by feeling the surface of the soil or feeling the weight of the pot to decide when to water. You do not ever want to let this plant completely dry out. Otherwise, it will just drop every needle.
Okay.
But on the other hand, you don't want to keep it constantly wet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a fine line between, you know, what, as it starts to dry down a bit, giving it a good watering, enough that the water drains through the drainage holes. Do not let it sit in water. So you'll dump it out of the little saucer after the water has drained through the drainage holes, sat there for 5 or 10 minutes. You'll dump the saucer and have that clean and clear. One of the things I love with plants like the lemon cypress trees, they love humidity that we have a hard time providing in our furnace heated homes.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put out a pebble tray. So a pebble tray is basically the dollar store. You get a tray. It could be a cookie sheet type tray or a plastic tray. Throw some gravel into it. Sit that the little plant on top of the gravel and keep water in the tray all winter.
Okay.
It will constantly evaporate around the plant. So you'll have to replenish it, but the plant isn't sitting in the water, but you do raise the humidity around the plant quite substantially.
Right.
And that can help a lot with the retention of those needles.
Okay.
And you're right about the full sun. It's got to be in the sunniest possible location and turn the plant 180 degrees every Sunday or Saturday or whatever.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you very much.
No fertilizer. Okay. Thanks, Anne.
Wyoming actually is, I was on the way to Blue Heron
Casino. Oh, yeah.
And you go through Wyoming, do you not?
So it's up there like Port Perry way?
Is that right? Is that right, Anne?
Oh, we've lost Anne. I'm going to have to look it up now. You've got me going on that.
Now maybe I'm totally confused.
It's okay.
But I do know something I'm really happy about, and I glanced up at our monitor, and Orest has called back, and he's going to be back on the air with us momentarily, in about three calls. Okay? Mervin in Mississauga, good morning.
Good morning, Mervin.
I have two mandevilla, and they've grown to about 10 feet.
Wow.
And I put them in big pots.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know how to heck put the pots inside.
You need dollies and strong friends.
Oh, brother.
I have all that, but I still think they're too big.
Yeah. Well, you can cut them back. Are they 10-foot trellises in those big pots?
Yeah, and I cut them back yesterday to about 4 feet, I guess.
Okay, that's good. And you took out the 10-foot trellises?
I took out the 10-foot trellises, yes.
So maybe get some shorter trellises for inside, because you probably will want trellises.
Yeah, I had double trellises.
Oh, good.
Because they were so tall, but yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I have trellises in there now, shorter ones.
Okay, so that works. I mean, the cutting down to 4 feet is very appropriate. Now, you have an option. Do you want to keep these plants growing in full sun as tropical flowering houseplants, or do you want to stick them into the dark or semi-dark and semi-dormancy?
Yeah, that would be preferable, I think, yes.
So that's typically the basement, which can be hard if it's a really big pot. Or maybe you have a spare bedroom or something where you can just keep it cool. You can put plants like this into a dormant or semi-dormant state by controlling the temperature. So lowering the temperature, having a cool room for them, root cellar kind of temperature. Mm-hmm. Dark, it doesn't have to be pitch dark. As a matter of fact, I think pitch dark is kind of hard on them, but lower light, they will drop leaves, they will basically hunker down, they will stay alive, but you will have to check the water every now and then, because every now and then you will have to give them a little bit of water just to keep them alive.
Uh-huh.
And then once the days start to get longer and everything starts to get very exciting in February, March, and April, you'll be rolling those out into a brighter spot in your home and watching new growth start to emerge. So you'll start to water and fertilize consistently at that point. And once we're frost free, you'll get them outside.
I can't keep them in the garage, then they have to be frost-free, right?
Well, yeah, frost-free, and that's the problem with garages. Unless it's completely insulated, we never know what kind of winter we're going to have.
Would you transplant if I put them in smaller pots? Would you do that now?
It's unlikely to work. If you transplant them down to smaller pots, you're likely going to have to do some root trimming to jam them into smaller pots. And at this time of year, that's super hard on the plants. You could do that in May or June because they're actively growing and you can do a lot of things to plants when they're growing. They kind of just bust through it, right? They grow through whatever stress we cause. But at this time of year, to do stressful things to plants can put them over the edge and cause them to die.
Okay.
So if you want to keep them, I'd be inclined to just leave them in the pots. You've cut them back. Now just get them into a situation where they're in a holding pattern, lower light, lower temperatures.
Okay, great. Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Alrighty.
I know we fall in love with plants and we spend a lot of money and time, and they get so big, like big hibiscus, big mandevillas.
What do you do then? Yeah.
I know, but it's like, well, you know, raise the rooftop. Let's lower the floor. What are we going to do?
Exactly. Looking outside at an absolutely beautiful day in downtown Toronto, in any case. Clear skies? Wow, I'll say. And it's clear sailing here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. The phone numbers are, in case we get a break
Well, we're jammed right now. I'll get the numbers anyway. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And we'll be back in a moment to say hi to Don in Alliston.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're going to amble off to Alliston now and say hi to Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. How are you both doing?
Good morning. Excellent.
That's great. I've got some bare grass spots and some weeds growing in some of my grass. So I was wondering if it's too late to do put some grass seed down, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's never too late in the fall unless you're talking about a steep hill. So are we talking flat elevation or hilly?
Flat elevation.
Okay. You're fine. What I would do, if you can, is pull the weeds, get out there with your knee pad and your screwdriver or your weeder, pull those weeds, eliminate them from that whole scene, get a little bit of lawn top dressing. So you've got some, or some triple mix or any kind of a good, you know, soil mix. Sprinkle that, rake it around so that it's nice and filling all those holes and patches. Grass seed, pretend you're feeding the bird. So out there, sprinkling an appropriate grass seed blend. So something that's going to be good for your conditions, sun, shade, high traffic, whatever. Sprinkle that all out there. Again, a nice light raking. So we've got seed soil contact, but the birds can't steal the seed because it's slightly covered under the soil. It's going to rain for the next few days. And it's particularly good conditions with the warmth we've been having. The seed is very likely to germinate in the next week, and then it'll be ready to go next spring. If it doesn't germinate because it suddenly gets super cold in Alliston, then it will sit there and wait until next spring, and it will grow then.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Great.
Have a great day, Don, and a great weekend for that matter,
too. Yeah, thanks for calling.
All righty. Oh, and here we are. We've reached, or he has reached out to us again. Orest in North York. Welcome again.
Welcome
to the
back.
Show.
Yeah.
Hi.
Thank you. The second question that I had was, once you put the pots in the ground, protection can be put around the plant itself to keep squirrels from digging up the soil.
Yeah, you may need to do that. Do you know what kind of roses they are? Do you remember the names?
They, on the card, they call them Lily Marlene.
Oh, Lily Marlene. Okay, so they are hybrid tea roses. Yes, you're going to want to put some protection, partially to protect from the squirrels, but also to protect from the extremely silly winters we have in southern Ontario. On the one hand, it can be really cold, and on the other hand, it can be really warm. So we get snow, we get rain, we get all these, you know, crazy ups and downs and fluctuations, and that's very hard on some of the more tender plants like roses.
Right.
So once you've buried the pots, don't do anything to protect them until we've had some really cold, like a good hard frost. And that might be in your area still 2 months away. I've had situations where I wasn't covering roses until after Christmas because the frosts were very, very light. We need a good 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees below zero to make those roses completely dormant. And at that point, you can pile anything pretty much anything you want around them, straw bales, piles of leaves, soil, topsoil, a bag, you know, half a bag of topsoil right over top of each plant. So you've got a little bit of a mountain right over the crown of the plant, but none of that happens until it's completely dormant. Make sense?
Hello?
Are you still there at worst?
Yes.
Okay.
Does that a lot of years ago, my mother-in-law told me when you have plants that you want to keep squirrels away from, to put some mothballs on the ground.
Okay, so I'm not a big fan of mothballs. All you need is one small child wandering through your yard thinking that's a mint and picking it up. So we don't typically use mothballs a lot anymore. There are some squirrel repellents. One that I like a lot and I have promoted is called plant. So the word plant and then skid. And skid is spelled S-K-Y. and then it's double D.
That's right.
D as in dog. So plant skid. I know it's available at Sheridan Nurseries, and you're in North York. Mind you, you're near Sheridan is now way up in Unionville, I think, or down in Toronto. But Sheridan, even Canadian Tire likely has it. Mm-hmm. It is a spray, and it's good for 6 months. It is completely organic. It was originally designed in Norway for keeping the elk away from plants. Turns out it keeps almost every mammal away from vegetation.
Yeah.
So it's very, very good protectant as we get into the winter, whether it's deer, elk, mm-hmm. you know, caribou, whatever's in your backyard, groundhogs, squirrels. And the squirrels don't really go after roses that much, yeah. I find. They'll go after a lot of things, but, and they're really just burying nuts right now. For them, it's all, they're burying stuff and then they're going to forget where it is anyway.
Okay, Oris, thank you very much for calling in that second time round.
Yeah,
and do you know, I'm looking at our monitor. We have 3 first time callers.
Wow. Good stuff.
So let's see how many we can squeeze on here before we have to wave bye-bye. And we'll come back after our next break here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's get that bell out here, Frankie.
Woo!
There, that's for Lily in Midland. First-time caller. Hi, Lily. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
I'm so glad I was able to get in, dear.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a little pink and white flower that I planted. It was on the side of the road, and it looks so beautiful. But the thing is, it's taken over my garden.
Oh, dear.
And my fence.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's that side of the road that was the giveaway there.
Yeah, uh-oh.
So it's a very vigorous plant, is what you're saying.
Yes, it chokes my plants.
Oh, dear. You have to tell me more about it. Pink and white flower. Does it grow
it
like
a... It looks like a tool, a trumpet, a small little trumpet.
Huh.
How tall is it?
Oh, it's not too tall, but when it gets onto my plants, it grows it just chokes them all up.
I know what it is.
It's my plants.
Okay, so you know what it is? It's called bindweed.
Oh, gosh.
So
yes, it's definitely
binding.
A weed.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I mean, a lot of things. One person's weed is another person's flower. I mean, morning glory is a form of bindweed. Sweet potato vine is also a form of bindweed. But the one you've chosen, yes, is a problem. Okay, perennials? Is it growing in a perennial garden right now, or is it growing in shrubs and trees, or where is it?
Well, it just grows all over.
Oh, dear.
Wow,
I have a hydrangea plant, and it's about maybe 10 feet away, and it's got a hold of that, too.
Holy cow. Oh,
okay, so this is going to be a tricky one.
Little thing.
You may need to get some help to do this. This is going to require a lot of... Well, pulling,
digging,
but you leave even a microscopic piece of root behind and it will grow back.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. To eliminate it from your garden is going to take some very consistent digging and removing, digging, removing, digging, removing.
And those roots, they're long too sometimes.
Well, they shouldn't be that bad.
I might think
but it's
of Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, maybe. It's easy to leave some behind. Yeah. And
I go through all my plants and I unwind it and pull the root as much as I can, but there's so many.
Right. Yeah. So that wherever it touches the ground, it can start to root again.
Wow.
So that's why it is going to be a bit of a challenge. In a worst case, I mean, in the spring, when it starts to first emerge, and it will be very obvious, it's got a very distinctive heart-shaped leaf,
mm-hmm.
you may want to get a hold of some Roundup, because this is an invasive, noxious weed that's in your garden, and if you very, very carefully and selectively, on a non-windy day, spray Roundup onto the leaves of that bindweed as it starts to emerge above ground, not being careful to not spray any of your chosen plants, you'll be able to lower the volume of some of it. You won't eliminate all of it. It's going to be like a daily or twice a day going outside, spraying very selectively as those leaves emerge. And ultimately, you should be able to kill the roots if you can stay on top of it.
Right.
Otherwise,
I try to do my best because it's on the neighbor's yard.
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
On the fence.
I know.
So I'm going... I'm constantly down near pulling.
Oh, boy.
Well, the pulling probably isn't helping because you're just breaking the stems and that's encouraging more growth. Yeah. So if you're going to do pulling, make sure you pull right and root comes with it. It is a challenge for sure. It's a very, very fast growing, happy plant. So, yeah, and it will choke. It will ultimately hurt other plants.
Roundup at spray.
Yep, Roundup.
Is that okay for the environment, dear?
It is considered a herbicide, non-selective herbicide that is completely inert once it's dry. So when it goes on wet, it can kill anything green. But once it dries, it is completely inert and kills
so
nothing.
So safe, yeah.
So it's as safe a herbicide as you're going to get. It's as safe as lemon juice or, which is out there as well, or vinegar as a herbicide. Yeah. But non-selective, so you got to be very careful.
Good luck with that, Lily.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it.
And Roundup's available at any Home Hardware, Canadian Tire, any of those places.
You see me reaching for the bell again here. There it is for Mike in Mississauga. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
An orchid plant, and healthy as anything. The roots, gorgeous. They're growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. But no flowers.
Okay. How long have you had it?
A little over a year, and after it finished blooming, that was it.
Okay.
It's been, maybe 7, 8, 9 months since the last of flowers.
All right, so are you fertilizing at all, or have you?
I'll give it a tad, yeah.
If you're going to give it any fertilizer at all, make sure you give it an orchid fertilizer. That will encourage blooms. It sounds like you're doing everything right if it's that happy and healthy and green and growing so well. So be patient. It's a patience thing. I think you'll find that if it doesn't shoot out a flower stem in the next, before Christmas, it will very shortly after Christmas. And it'll just look like a root, but it'll actually be a flower stem. It'll come off the side down below the leaves. And instead of sort of growing horizontally like a root, well, it'll start to go up against gravity, and you'll get yourself your little stake, and you'll stake it up. All right.
You know something? We have to go. We're at the checkout counter.
Frank's eyes are getting really big looking at me.
Well, we only have a few seconds left in the show, as I say, at the checkout counter now. And thank you, one and all, for a fascinating bunch of questions
this
morning.
No kidding. From all over Ontario and many first-time callers. So welcome and don't be a stranger.
We're leaving some folks on the line
who
are
waiting.
So
call early, call often. Yeah, we're back next week.
Yes, indeed we are.
And
thanks,
you're
Charlie.
Back this afternoon.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock.
All right. You've got lots going on.
Absolutely.
And I know you're writing scripts and finding fun things to talk about.
And the music, I tell you, we play the Zoomer Radio greatest original greatest hits.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Duncan. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.